Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, for another program about Fatima. We are still preparing the way, like we do in Advent, like John the Baptist did, as preparing the way for the Lord to come. And we are preparing the way for Our Lady of Fatima to come to our minds and to our hearts so that we are able to accept her, to accept first that she has the ability, the faculty, and the mission to visit us, to visit the earth from time to time. As she has started to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting. And she is sent by God, I believe, and so she's become a prophet of God. She's become a messenger of God, because is God visiting through her? Is God visiting his people? And of course, she is the mediatrix. She's being just a mediator, like Moses has been a mediator in this case, because the action is God's. And the gospel that she brings, which is no gospel, just but the reminder of the gospel, of course, is the gospel of her Son. So it is always she does God's job, and in these visitations, of course, she brings the message from heaven. That's why Karl Rahner, as I told you last time, he gives importance to these. Doesn't divide private revelations and public revelations, and puts all together in a single revelation. And this is Maria. Mary is like the relay station of the gospel. So to increase the volume of the gospel and to try to help us to apply it in different situations. So we have conceptualized already her visitations, that she comes sent by God. Is through her is God visiting his people. And of course, God visits always our people. What God has seen the people of Israel in Egypt, how they were suffering. Well, God is always there looking at how the things are going down. And sometimes our Blessed Mother comes, sent by the Trinity, to deliver the message. Of course, the message is always the message from Trinity, especially from our role model now in heaven, that is Jesus Christ, because he went there, taking there our human nature, that he came to purify. So, and now we are doing a pilgrimage. We are doing a pilgrimage through a big list of visitations, many of which I just mentioned them, because they are not as important as these three ones, this trinity of visitations, which is one in Mexico, Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima. Probably these three places are the ones that gather more pilgrims around the world, day in Guadalupe, I was told that is the place where that gathers more Christian pilgrims around the world. And in Europe, as far as I know, together with Fatima, there is Lourdes, and there is also Santiago de Compostela, St. James in Compostela, north of Spain. These are the three places of pilgrimage. So we are doing a pilgrimage, and we already said something about Guadalupe, but we are going to say more, because Guadalupe needs a program on its own so that the three pilgrimages, of course, this program is about Fatima, and we will speak lengthily about it, but we have to speak about the other two, the important ones, that is Lourdes and Guadalupe, because it will also help us to understand Fatima much better. And why these and not others? Because these were really clear. Not all apparitions are that clear. And that's why the Church divided them, and the group A, so to say, the group, the most important group, would be the ones that are approved with widespread liturgical veneration and somehow endorsed by the Holy See. I already told you the ways the Holy See endorses is not by an official document, but other ways that I told you about. And then the second group would be the ones that are simply approved, and that's disapproval is always the approval of the local bishop. That's the one who approves. Even the Vatican cannot intervene if the local bishop doesn't intervene first, because it's diocese. And although in the Catholic Church you probably think that the Pope has absolute power, is not such. The Pope is the Bishop of Rome, and Pope Francis made it clear when he was announced as Pope. He said, "I am the Bishop of Rome." That means that there is some collegiality among all the bishops, and a bishop in his diocese is somehow the authority, and of course he could even somehow oppose the Pope, of course not in big issues, not in big matters, not in matters of dogma, and not in matters of faith, and maybe not even in matters of morals. So, but you know, in each mission is the administrator in each diocese. So we spoke about in this pilgrimage throughout some places where Our Lady has appeared, Guadalupe. We spoke about Rue du Bac in 1830, and then we left it there, and now we speak about La Salette. La Salette is also in France in 1846. And it appeared to the visionaries are two, Maxime Giraud, 11, and Melanie Mathieu, 14. Always this question of Mary appeared to children, because, you know, just somehow indirectly to remind us the gospel where her son says, "Unless you become like children, you won't enter the kingdom of God." Children have very nice values. They have them naturally, and of course we lose them. That innocence and other values, we lose them with adulthood, but we are to get them back. Now this case, in this time, for our effort and the grace of God, so that we can enter the kingdom of God. And of course, let never forget that for God you are never an adult, you are always a kid, because he is our Father. So La Salette, it was up in the Alps. very high in the Alps, and of course, what are you doing there in that high altitude? They were two little shepherds, and they were keeping their sheep. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared. It's a very, very, very nice place, 6,000 feet up in the French Alps. And it appears only once. They were tending their sheep, something that the little three shepherds in Fatima were doing too. Her appearances in sorrow and tears call for conversion, penance for sins, and prayer for sinners. So these are the three things, is in the Trinitarian, the tridimensional message of Our Lady in almost, if not all, the apparitions, is penance, is prayer, and prayer for yourself, prayers as a way to relate to God, and prayer for the conversion of sinners. This is always there in all apparitions of our Blessed Mother, and in doing this, she is doing the same as John the Baptist prepared the way to her son. Also, John the Baptist proclaimed the same, and in the beginning Jesus was saying, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." So she keeps saying this to tell people, well, repent, convert, do penance for your sins. So doing penance is somehow retract from materialism. And so when you do penance for material things so that you become more spiritual. And still in France, you see Rue du Bac in 1830, and La Salette in 1846, and now we, in 1858, still in France, comes the time for Our Lady to appear at Lourdes, one of major pilgrimages, one of major apparitions. She appears 18 times. And from February the 1st, the 11th, and that the feast day is precisely February 11, Our Lady of Lourdes. She appeared to Saint Bernadette Soubirous. She was 14, and she appeared at a grotto in Massaviel. The Virgin showed herself 18 times to Bernadette Soubirous under the title The Immaculate Conception. Now we have a new thing, Immaculate Conception. A dogma was just instituted 4 years before, and that was one of the proofs of the apparitions, because Bernadette, she was very ignorant and analphabet. She didn't know about the dogma, but she said that the lady that appeared to her introduced herself as the Immaculate Conception. So let us leave it for now in Lourdes, France, and after a pause we come back and speak about other ones. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. So we are in Lourdes, and there were so many miracles that give witness to these apparitions. If I compare, one of those is the that Saint Bernadette is her body is still to now incorruptible. So that's approved by itself. And you know, the water spring that Our Lady told her to dig, and there was no water there, and then it started to come out water, and many healings. If I compare Lourdes with Fatima, Lourdes is more connecting with the healing of Jesus. And Fatima would be more connected with faith and preaching, with the gospel itself. Fatima is connected with healing, with faith, and in rough terms, because also Lourdes is connected with faith, and also even Fatima connect with healings. But here there are many, many, many more healings than we find in Fatima. Because it's a different apparition, it is for a different situation, and that's the difference. Because in a different time and a different, certainly a different social situation. So here, Our Lady of Lourdes presents the healing power of her son. And of course, we saw it in the Gospel. Jesus brought salvation to the world, and salvation means health, salus, translated literally means health. And so, and as a matter of fact, even in Ethiopia, one of the titles of Jesus is Medahani Halem, that means the medicine of the world. So the sanation for the world, the healing for the world. And so in Fatima, we see that aspect in Jesus' mission, the healing that he was bringing everywhere to any person that asked him. Okay, so then we go to Ireland, to the English world, and in Ireland, Our Lady also appeared still in the same century, and now in 1879, appeared in Knock in August the 21st. And just a single apparition. Maybe, you know, the importance of the apparitions of Our Lady is you could also see the more to the less importance is the more apparitions. It's not just a criteria but that could be in a criteria. The more apparitions we have of Our Lady in that particular place, the more important it is. This one is just a single apparition. It resembles things with Fatima, at least the Fatima last apparition. The visionaries were 18. It's kind of a very public apparition. During a pouring rain, the figures of Mary, Joseph, John the Apostle, and the Lamb on a plain altar appeared over the gable of the village chapel, enveloped in a bright light. None of them spoke, at least 15 people between the ages of 5 and 75 were present in that apparition. And of course, there are many miraculous cures, so that's another detail to avail for this apparition. But as I said, it was just a single apparition. But of course, when you have many people, just a single apparition, but when you have many people that can give witness to the apparition, then you have to somehow accept it. And it was accepted. It's not widely known. Probably, certainly in Ireland is widely known. But as far as I remember, there was John Paul II celebrate the Mass there in Knock in Ireland. So there you are. It means, and that's a proof that this apparition is in the list of the most important ones. And now we have Fatima, the last one of this group, the most important group. Then the other ones I will go much faster because they are not that important, the ones that are in the other groups, because this one is the one that the only one that that has the aval of the Vatican, of the Church in Rome, of the Universal Church. All the others are somehow local and have less importance to the Universal Church. Of course, important in their own place. Fatima, and also you can see if the message is more local, then it's less important for the Universal Church. About Fatima, I'll tell you, the message was a prophecy that was done in 1917, and that's what the children call a secret. If you analyze it, they didn't have means to say this is a prophecy. They didn't know the word. They were ignorant. They were an alphabet. They couldn't read or write. So the word prophecy is too big word for them. They called it a secret. And somehow a secret is also a prophecy, or a prophecy can be secret. It is at least told in secret. So Fatima is about a prophecy that was revealed on 1917, but the accomplishment of that prophecy was throughout the whole 20th century. And probably there is something still there for this 21st century, but mostly it was prophecy right in the beginning of the century, 1917, for the whole. And the most important points of the prophecy, they were to come true in the last 20 years of the century. And so we will go through that, the importance of this prophecy that is transversal to a whole century. So, and there, that's the importance of this apparition. And also, it's also very theological. It touches almost all aspects of our faith, all our aspects from the theological point of view. It touches the Trinity, it touches the Eucharist, it touches so many aspects of our faith. It touches them all, I would say, it touches them all. And so also the reason why it is important. Another reason why it is important, it's now this apparition as an evangelizer. That being they were three kids, but one of the kids, that is Lucia, and of course, the most important kid, Lucia, I call her the evangelizer of Fatima, because she is the one that wrote the Evangelium of Fatima. She is the one that wrote everything about Fatima. And she is the one that wrote the secret that gave to the Pope. She handwrote it, and this prophecy. So it is important, and she lived, she died in the same year and a couple of months apart from the fourth shepherd, the fourth shepherd of Fatima is the Pope John Paul II. He was very much involved not that he liked to be involved in Fatima, but he was involved in Fatima. And Fatima asked things of him. And you know how providential this Pope was to the fall of the Soviet Union. Well, there is Fatima there. But of that we will tell you. Of that we will tell you lengthily, because that's the importance of this apparition. Now, I was comparing this apparition, these modern apparitions, these Lourdes and Fatima and Lourdes, and I was comparing the two of them. One was more connected with healing, and Fatima more connected with faith and conversion. In let us say that in Lourdes, Mary appeared as a doctor. In Fatima, Mary appears as a prophet. Mary appears as a prophet, as a revolutionary, as a fighting prophet, because, remember, she introduced herself as the Lady of the Rosary. There you are. When you say that, the Lady of the Rosary, what comes to your mind? A battle, Lepanto battle, where Christians won the battle against the Muslims. Look, that battle was the last battle between Christians and Muslims, and if we had lost that battle, if the Christianity had lost that battle, the Muslims would convert the whole Europe as they have done in up and down the Mediterranean. Remember that all Christian communities St. Paul founded and was writing letters to them. All these, most of these places are now Muslims. These Christian communities died out, and this religion of submission, that's what Islam means, they also, submission, you should submit to God, but you should not submit other people to your God. That's not a right thing. But that's what happened. That's what happened. Now, just to finish the program today, at that time in the Battle of Lepanto, the Pope asked the people to pray the rosary before the battle and during the battle. You know, like people of Israel were praying, Moses was praying and the people was winning, and Moses stopped praying and the people of Israel started losing. So the same way, Our Lady of the Rosary, this is Our Lady of the Victories, but then it was called Our Lady of the Victories because she helped the Christians to win the battle against the Muslims. But then later on, because the battle was won because of the Rosary, because the Pope has said to people, pray the Rosary during the battle, then it is now called Our Lady of the Rosary. So that Our Lady of the Rosary introduces herself to the little three shepherds. I am the Lady of the Rosary, and I'm coming to fight. What am I going to fight? I'm going to fight militant atheism. That's what Fatima is about.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.